Well, think about the labor. Again, it was a big bowl made of brass. I believe that it was made of the mirrors of the ladies, the children of Israel. They gave those, they melted down, and they made some of this furnishings of brass that was used in the tabernacle. And it was made like a big bowl, and it was to hold water. The product of the labor was water. It was to hold water. It was not for drinking, though, but it was rather for washing, water for washing. Water is, of course, a cleansing agent. Water is designed to clean. We use the taps. We use water to clean our hands and feet and bodies and so on today. God said in Ezekiel 36:25, as you see it on the screen there, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." God talked to Israel about being cleansed and talking about water there. Obviously, God is interested in hygiene and everything else, many things that we could see that through the Old Testament worship as well. But this was a ceremonial washing for those involved. We don't have a laver today. We don't have anything that compares with this in the church in any way. It's not the baptism tank. It's not the sinks in the kitchen or the bathrooms and so on. But we do have the wherewithal to be spiritually cleansed. Initially, of course, we need to be cleansed from our sin, and that takes place by the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But following our initial cleansing, our salvation, we need to be cleansed also on a daily basis. And really, that is what the laver was all about. But it wasn't for everybody. The laver was not just for everybody. And we'll get to that in just a minute, but the washing that we use, that the Bible is talking about, that this applies to us through, is obviously not a bowl of water, but it's speaking about the Word of God. The Word of God is a cleansing agent for us today. In Ephesians 5:26, as you see the reference there, I believe is on the screen. If not, you can write it down anyway. But it speaks of the washing of water by the Word. And so the Word of God is that which is used to cleanse us in our lives. Jesus said, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." See, how could we be clean through a word? Well, it's the word of God, the words of Jesus Christ, and they are to cleanse us. If we live by the word of God, we'll live clean lives. What did the psalmist say? "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy law." Cleansing. We're talking about cleansing. We're talking about being washed. This laver had water in it, and then the purpose of the water was to wash the priests, as we'll see in just a moment. We cleanse our way, our lives, by taking heed to the Word of God. We need to be people of the book, people of the Bible, whose lives are kept clean by the Word of God. That saying that you see on the screen there has been attributed to numerous different people, but somebody said, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And so this book, of course, referring to the Bible is that which will keep us from sin. It will cleanse our way as we follow and take heed to the truth of the Word of God. And so that laver was filled with water to wash the priest's hands and feet. We today have the Word of God that is compared to water, and it's to cleanse our way, to cleanse us and prepare us for service for the Lord. As I mentioned a moment ago, the labor was not for everybody. It was just to be used only by the priests. The average Israelite, rather, was not to use the labor. It was not for them. It was for the priests. The priests were those who served in the tabernacle. The priests were those who served God, and they were the ones who were to wash in that laver. They are the ones that represented man to God. You think about that. In the Old Testament, the prophet represented God to man, didn't he? Because the prophet had the message of God to take to the people of God or to the people of the world. The priest, on the other hand, was the people's representative to God. And the priest took the sacrifices from the people and worshipped God on their behalf and took those sacrifices of cleansing and different things to the Lord on their behalf. And so they were representing man to God, offering those sacrifices and worship on behalf of the people. You know, the Bible tells us that Christians are, in fact, priests. Not just some Christians, not just some people. And sometimes because I'm a pastor of a church, sometimes people say, oh, so you're like the priest. Well, no, I'm not the priest in the way that people think that are raised in other religions and things, and they automatically think the person who stands behind a pulpit and speaks to the people is called the priest. But that's not the kind of priest we're referring to here. The Bible says that as Christians, we are kings and priests. That's what the Bible says in Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. We looked at it a couple months ago in our study of Revelation, that the Bible says that God has cleansed us and made us unto himself kings and priests. Jesus Christ is our high priest, but we are priests, kings and priests for the Lord. Jesus Christ is the only mediator. We don't need to mediate between God and man. Jesus Christ, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And yet sometimes we do on behalf of people who have no interest or no understanding of what they need to do before the Lord. We do in a sense intercede on their behalf, don't we? Because we pray for them, asking God to help them to see their need of him and so on. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are to offer spiritual sacrifices. That's what we are to be as Christians. He doesn't say some of you are a holy priesthood. He says ye are a holy priesthood. As Bible-believing Christians, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. We are to offer those spiritual sacrifices. Say, spiritual sacrifice, you mean we have to make sacrifice for our sins? No, not sacrifice for our sins, but sacrifices of our time, sacrifice of our talent, sacrifice of our life. As we think about what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, that we are to present ourselves a living what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. The sacrifice of our ambitions and plans as we surrender them to God wherever he may call us to go. And so Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 2 verse 17 about his sacrifice for the Philippian people. He sacrificed himself to God, to serve God, to be a missionary, to go travel about and a church planter, to go from place to place to place. And so he offered those spiritual sacrifices to God. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hebrews 13:15 speaks about the sacrifice of praise. So we are priests. That we are priests unto God to offer spiritual sacrifices, sacrifices of our time and talent, sacrifices of our praise. And so the laver, that big bowl that was in the tabernacle, was for who? It was for the priests. It was for their cleansing. And what do we know? We know that the Bible tells us the Word of God is for our cleansing, and that we are to be priests unto our God. And so we see the product of the laver, the water, and for cleansing, and then the people of the laver, the priests, and also we see the purpose of the laver. Again, we've mentioned it already, it was for washing. It was that people would be washed therein. The priests were to be washed therein. But turn with me to Exodus 29, which shouldn't be too far away, and we'll look at verses 1 to 4, because we need to understand what this cleansing that the priests had at the laver on a regular basis, what it was about and what it was not about. And so we see here in Exodus chapter 29 that the priests had an initial cleansing. Before they became priests, before they served the Lord in that way, they had a cleansing. Exodus 29 verse 1, it says, and this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them. That hallow is to separate unto, to make holy. And so to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. So these are people who qualified to be priests. They were to be taken, and they were to be separated unto the work of the Lord. It says, take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the one basket with the bullock and the two rams. Verse 4 says, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. So before they became priests, they had an initial cleansing, as it were, an initial washing that prepared them for the priesthood, that prepared them for the ministry that God had called them to. If they didn't take part in that, they were not the priests of the Lord. They were not to carry about the business of the priesthood. God said that was what they had to do initially, before they were instituted into that position of being priests. After they were cleansed, we could have read further down in the chapter, they were clothed, they were given the clothing of the priesthood, and then to partake in the activities of the priesthood. Realize this tonight, that every believer receives initial cleansing when they are born again and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. So when we talk about the laver, we're not talking about a gradual salvation that we are washed and ultimately we finally get saved. No, we are saved first. We are born again through receiving Jesus Christ and trusting His cleansing blood for the forgiveness of our sins. If we are not saved, we may be religious people, but we are not priests unto God. Those who are born again, those who have received Jesus Christ, they are God's people, and they are, in effect, as God said, priests unto the Lord. And so then what was the laver for? The laver was for washing, as we read, the hands and the feet. It was not for that initial cleansing, but it was for a daily cleansing of the hands and feet. Having been cleansed, they were priests. But in order to carry out their duties, they needed a daily cleansing of their hands and their feet. We know, don't we, that your hands and your feet are things that constantly need to be washed. All this colds and flus and things that are going around, even at my workplace, or signs up as if it was a food preparation place, which it's not. We transport a lot of food, but there's signs in the bathrooms that say employees must wash their hands before returning to work. That's kind of an unusual thing. I've never seen that before in a workplace. I think it's good common sense, makes all good sense, but we understand the importance of washing our hands. We can imagine how it would have been back in this day in particular, how the feet would have gotten very dirty, walking in sandy environment with open shoes. Some of you ladies in particular know what it's like walking with open shoes in dusty, dirty places, and you need to wash your feet more than if you have a pair of socks on. Then they just get to be stinky feet, but at least they don't look dirty, right? But they need to be washed regularly. Every day, you may or may not have a shower every day. You may or may not wash your hair every day, but you ought to be washing your hands and feet multiple times, or at least your hands multiple times a day. And it's probably not a bad idea to wash your feet every day. Not a bad idea to have a shower every day either. But you get what I'm saying here. The hands and the feet, they get washed more. The priests had their initial cleansing, but they daily, regularly, had to go to the laver and wash their hands and their feet. You know, as Christians, we get saved but once. We are born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say, you must be born again and again and again and again and again. You must be born again. We have our sins forgiven, and we are born again into God's family just once. But we need to regularly wash our hands and our feet. Not necessarily these hands and feet. We've already talked about that. That's a good thing. But our feet represent our walk. Our walk in the Christian life, our walk of life is represented by our feet. Our hands represent our work, our service for the Lord. And so we need to realize that our hands and our feet are going to get dirty. You're familiar with the story, I'm sure, but let's turn over to John chapter 13 and look at the story again of Jesus washing the disciples' feet and what he says and how it applies here and reminds us of these priests that have their hands and feet washed regularly at this laver. In John chapter 13, verse 5, it says, after the supper, it says, verse 4, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a bowl, a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This was a common custom of the day, to wash feet. But this is Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and so understandably, when he comes to Peter, Simon Peter, being the outspoken one, saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Seriously, Lord, you are a master. You shouldn't be washing my feet, is what he's saying. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He said, I want to be fully washed. But what does the Lord say in verse 10? Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. What was Jesus saying? He's saying you need to be born again, you need to be cleansed from your sin, Peter. But then on a daily, regular basis, you need to have your feet washed. And of course, then applicably here back in our text, back in Exodus, also referring to the hands. Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, I need to wash you, Peter, or you have no part with me. Peter said, then wash me completely, head to toe. And Jesus said, no, you need to keep washing your feet regularly once you've been cleansed. But you're not all cleansed. Who was the one who wasn't cleansed? Well, that was Judas. He wasn't a true believer. But he said, once you've been cleansed, Peter, you just need to regularly wash your feet. The lesson is that people need only be saved once, as we said, but we need to have our hands and our feet washed because of our constant walk in this world. The influence and effect of the world on our lives, in other words, requires regular washing. Boy, there's a lot of philosophy in this world that is not God's philosophy. And when we're going about our days in this world, we're living in a world, and Jesus said that we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world, but the world starts to influence us, doesn't it? Its influence comes into our life. It's just like that sandy dirt that is on the roads, and it got on their feet. They needed to wash it off because it didn't belong there. And so we think about the Word of God and how it cleanses our hearts and it cleanses our lives. We need to get often back to the book, the Word of God, because we hear all those philosophies, all those things going on. And boy, right now it's a busy time with things going on and philosophies floating around in the world. But we need to just get back to our Bible and open up our Bible and say, Lord, just wash off what doesn't belong there. I just want to stick with your Word. I just want the things that are found to be true in your word as part of my life. Wash off what doesn't belong there. We need to get our theology straightened out many times because the theology of the world can soon influence us. We need to keep short accounts with God. We are prone to sin and its effects, and we need to keep tabs on it, and we need to get back to the book. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. According to thy law, we read a few minutes ago. And so we need to keep those accounts short with God and get God's word to wash off those things that do not belong there. Like the laver, the word of God will cleanse us. Like the priests, we must find time to wash our hands and feet regularly. Regularly be in the book. Regularly be spending time with God. As we see, the purpose of the laver was to wash the hands and the feet. But the laver was placed in a particular place. There was a particular location that was for the laver. You see it on the screen there on the little picture that's up there. God specified where every piece of the furniture of the tabernacle belonged. Now, we know in this life, we get tired of the way our bedroom is, or the living room is, or the office is, and we say, you know what, I'm going to move this over here, and put this over here, and put that over there. The priests, when they set up the tabernacle, all the, through their wilderness journeys, couldn't say, you know, I'm kind of tired of the way these things are. I think we're going to switch things up. I'm going to put the candle over here, and we'll put the table of showbread over there instead, and then we'll put the altar over here and the laver there. No, God said, everything is to be where I've told you it's going to be. See, why was God so definite on where things belonged? Well, that's because it had a purpose, and its placement reminded them of the order of where things should be. And as they entered into the outer court and then into the tabernacle, they passed the altar and then they passed the laver and then they went into the tabernacle and then there was the Holy of Holies within that. And each step was in its correct and proper order. God had a purpose in that. The laver was in the outer court where the brazen altar, as the picture just evidenced there, was also. So they walked in the gate. The altar was right there. After the altar was the laver. The brazen altar was the first thing that they encountered when coming in that outer court. That altar represented the work of Christ to pay for our sins. That altar was where those sacrifices that were killed were offered to God. It was the altar, the brazen altar. The sacrifices were burned on that altar as they were offered unto the Lord. The laver was between the brazen altar and the tabernacle itself. In other words, the place of daily washing comes after the place of salvation. Again, just another reinforcement. It comes after that salvation. The thing that pictured salvation, the altar, was first, and then after that was that daily cleansing. We cannot clean ourselves up. We don't need to clean ourselves up and then get so we can get saved. We get saved, the Lord changes our life, and then we keep our life clean through His Word. Sometimes people, you talk to people sometimes and say, I want to change my life and I want to get some things right. You say, well, what you need to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, I think I will in time, but first I need to organize things and get some things right. No, really, first they need to come to the Lord with a repentant heart. Come to the Lord, accept His salvation, and He will help them get those things right. And so the cleansing comes after salvation, as far as the daily cleansing comes after He has forgiven us of our sin and saved our souls. But it becomes before the sanctuary, before the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Remember, there was the altar. Then there was the laver, and then what came next? The place of worship. The place where God dwelt. Now look with me over to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, we'll see God's presence was in the holy place, which came after the laver. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, it says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day when it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The tabernacle was where God's presence was. That came after the laver. The altar, the laver, the tabernacle. The place where God, well, the place where God came down and showed His presence. We learn from this that in order to meet with God, we need to be clean. Not just saved, but have our daily cleansing of our lives through His Word. Living right. Now turn with me to Psalm 24 as we're reminded of this thought of Psalm 24 gives us who will ascend into the presence of the Lord. Who will go into God's very presence. And it speaks about the very same thing that we're dealing with here. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 24, verse 3 says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" Look at verse 4. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Who shall ascend? He that hath clean hands. The presence of God, the tabernacle, before the priests went in, they had to have clean hands. The laver was situated in that place before they met with God in his presence. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That's that daily cleansing we need to be about in our life. 1 John 1, verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light," verse 7 says, "as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." His presence. If we are walking in his light, if we are in his presence, we need to be cleansed, that daily cleansing that takes place. Think about it tonight. If you're having guests come to your home, what do you want to do? You make sure it's clean. Say, "I want it to be clean for the guests to be here." So if you're going to spend time with God in God's presence, then you must be cleansed. Yes, he dwells within us. Yes, he lives with us in our hearts day and night. But realize that if we're saying, "I want God's presence in my life," we need those clean hands, pure heart, clean feet. The sanctuary was also a place of ministry to the Lord. Not only where they met with God, but it's also where they ministered to God. It was a place of their service to the Lord. They ministered in the tabernacle. Before they served God, what did they need to do? Wash their hands and their feet. Was that so that they didn't get the golden candlestick dirty, or so that when they touched the showbread, their hands were clean? No, it was the significance, was a spiritual significance. If we are going into the holy place to worship a holy God, and we need to be clean vessels to be used of God. It was a very important thing, because the Bible tells us back in our text, if they didn't do it, they could die. That was a pretty significant statement. Don't wash your hands and feet, but go into the tabernacle, you could die. I think the laver was probably a place that got used well. Before, when people were on their way, we read also, before they could go back to the altar to offer those sacrifices that people brought in, their hands had to be cleansed from that. It was their service for the Lord. You know, God does not want us to serve others as dirty vessels. You wouldn't serve your guests a plate that was dirty, a cup that was dirty. You wouldn't say, "Oh, we've got guests coming over. Well, this one doesn't look like the dishwasher did such a good job, but oh well." Now, you want to make sure that when someone comes in, they've got a clean plate. It's embarrassing. Oh no, you got, you know, sometimes a stack of bowls is stacked up and the dishwasher didn't wash one very well, and you see it last minute. Oh no, that's embarrassing. Or it's chipped or whatever, right? The guest always seems to get the one that's chipped that you didn't know was chipped. You don't want that. You say, "No, I want the guest to have the best vessels." You know, when God wants us to serve him, he wants to use clean vessels. It says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 to 21, that in a big house there's many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. But it says, "If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, prepared for the master's use." Christians need to be pure vessels, meet for the master's use. It's important to serve God with pure hearts and pure hands, to keep our walk and our work clean. God cannot bless the ministry of those who approach it with dirty hands and dirty feet. He didn't then, and I don't believe he does now. He wants us to have, when we serve him, our hands clean, our feet clean. You say, "Well, that doesn't mean I have to be perfect, and who's going to serve the Lord? Certainly not me." No, it's not talking about perfection. It's talking about being cleansed as best we can through the Word of God and through living right and the ability that He gives us to do so. Some may think that much of the service of God is a physical thing. You play an instrument, or you pass an offering plate, or you hand out a bulletin, or you go and hand out gospel tracts, or you speak a lesson, or preach a sermon. You say, oh, those are physical things, that we should get talented people that have great talent. And yes, that's great. Talent is a good thing. But it's not just about talent, is it? It's about being vessels for the Lord. We're not doing these things to say, well, wow, what a great speaker, or what a great bulletin passer, or what a great tract distributor. No, there may be people who are more talented in some things than some of the rest of us who do these things. But the thing is, what we need is we need people who are spiritually prepared for the job. People who have clean hands, not so they don't pass on a cold, but clean hands so that they are vessels that God can bless. Whose lives are right, their feet are cleansed from perhaps some places that they've walked. It's not just about saying the right words or doing the right deeds in the right way. It's about serving a holy God. These tasks that we do as service to God, as keeping the candles lit in the tabernacle, as making the showbread and replacing it daily with the showbread, as with offering those sacrifices. See, why do they need to wash their hands? They're going to be dealing with dirty sacrifices. No, it was service to God, and they were to wash their hands so that they were realizing we are worshiping and serving a holy God, and therefore we need to have clean hands and clean feet, spiritual activities. To serve God effectively, we need to cleanse our hands and feet in the labor of His Word on a regular basis. As we said, for the priest, failure to do so could result in death. It was a serious thing. For us, it's not a matter of life and death. But it is a matter of the blessing of God. It's a matter of whether God can bless our work. Can God bless what we are doing? And I'm reminded every time I stand behind this pulpit that if I don't stand here with the blessing of God, I may as well not be bothered being here. If I don't stand here knowing that what I have is a message that God wants me to present, and I'm as right with God as I can be, I may as well just go home. Because we need God's blessing in this place. We need God's blessing in every ministry that's done. And so we need to have clean hands and clean feet washed in the laver of His Word. So as we think about the Super Bowl that's being played now and some footballs are being tossed around, whether they're fully inflated or not, the Super Bowl really is that cleansing of God's Word, isn't it? That laver that reminded us of the need of daily cleansing, the water of the Word of God. We line ourselves up with the Word of God. We follow its precepts and it cleanses those things out of our lives that don't belong. Because we are priests to a holy God. And to serve Him, we need to be not just saved, but living right. Because our work is to offer spiritual sacrifices to a holy God. And our hands and feet do get dirty in this world in which we live. So may God help us to use the labor of His Word to cleanse our lives that we may serve Him better. Let's pray together.